Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Top Flight Pod. You know what it is. You know what we're here to do. Back on screen today, beautiful Austin, Texas. I'm with my boy. We got Primo with me tonight. Two-man show, no biggie, my G. Primo, how are you doing tonight, bro? It is the eve of the Liga MX Cup Final. Tigres and America playing the game. None of our teams are in it, bro, so we couldn't give less of a F. But how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing all right, man. You know, just a chill Sunday. Went to church this morning, did a little Christmas shopping, and yeah, getting ready for this final. Like you mentioned, none of our teams are in it, man. America slapped the shit out of San Luis, so I'm just like whatever about it.
Yeah, you guys got murdered, dude. And then Chivas lost out to Pumas early on in this playoff Pumas bracket early. Playoff format, so. My horse was out of this race a long time ago, but it sucks because our bitter rivals, America B's team, the Nolvis's team, they are in the final right now trying to get that 14th cup, but it is what it is. Anyways, yeah. We got a really interesting episode tonight. Me and Primo, we're going to talk about, of course, the media match. We got Adrian Healy talk, some schedule conversation here. The big announcement by MLS, Don Garber, about the U.S. Open Cup participation, what's going to happen there. Also, we're going to talk about a bit of a Dani Pereira update. Kip Keller, obviously, that's the big thing going around. And at the end of the show, we'll talk about the newest signing, Jader O'Brien. But before we get into the topics of the show tonight, I want to send a shout out to all the Patreon members. Shout out to everybody that's on the Discord. We got some Patreon questions that we're going to get to at the end of the episode as well. But shout out to everybody that is signed up to the Patreon. If you're not signed up yet, and if you want to, there is the link in our Instagram and also on Twitter. You can follow that. And if you want, you can sign up. You get a link to the Discord. Join the conversation there, where the transfer rumors section is probably the most attractive thing from that package. And also the We're Austin TV Patreon care packages are soon to be sent out. Some pins, some little stickers for y'all for the support that you give us giving it back to y'all. But my G Primo, you ready to get into tonight's episode, bro? We got one ready.
Let's get into it.
All righty, bro. Well, putting you right on the highlight, or right on the hot spot, you could say, or on the hot seat. The indie media match took place on Saturday. The black team defeated the Verde side. Now, Primo, what went wrong for the Verde team? Because you were on that team. Football Critic was on that team. Neff was also on that team. Eric was on that team. I mean, I thought it was going to be a home run. I was like, you know what? Those guys got it. I was not there, but I was confident that you boys were going to get the job done. 5-3 defeat. What happened? What went wrong?
Man, I mean, overall, it was a fun game. You know, we got to see all of these familiar faces from the Austin FC community, some friends, some other people that, you know, we share this podcast space with. So it was good seeing everybody. But as far as the game, man, I don't know. It was just, well, first of all, we had no midfield. Our midfield was nowhere to be found. Oof.
Okay.
So you had defense, wingers, and forwards. There's just this big hole in the middle, bro. And the black team was just filling that in, and they're just getting passes through the middle like nothing. And then, you know, there's a few lucky shots here and there, a little bit of goalkeeper mistakes here and there. So a little bit of everything. It just wasn't our day.
Now, I went to Twitter and I voiced some concerns. You know, I sent my complaint to the league and also to Otra, por favor. The referee was not protecting We're Austin TV players, and I was very upset. Football Critic, he told me that off of a corner kick, he got hit and was down for several minutes. Nobody took care of him. Eric, there's even a photograph of Eric being fouled. Nasty, just thrown to the side like a ragdoll. No call. I mean, there was no protection for the We're Austin TV players. And if next season it is not a different ref, we are not sending any players to that game if we don't have protection. I wish I was there. Would have been a different story. But I heard it was a really, really fun time. And I was keeping up with the game on the live stream. And I'm going to say this. I was very impressed with the Verde Pendant Pod Boys. Really good sequence of play there. I think the first goal was scored by one of their members, Banger. Or was it a cross? I don't know. And also, Verde Minute. Was it like an 8-9-year-old kid? He had a nice assist for the, 5-3, sparking a little bit of a comeback. But in the end, the Verde team fell short. But shout out to Verde Pende. Verde Minute, and really all the content creators that went out there and had a good time. See if we can get them next season. But it is what it is. And shout out to the North End Pod Boys for the commentary. It was top tier. I really enjoyed that. Thank you. Because if they didn't have that, I wouldn't be able to watch it. So we move. Now, all right, Primo. Getting into a little bit of a serious topic, Adrian Healy. He leaves MLS and drops a very, very interesting tweet. It says, 25 years after first calling an MLS game, it appears my run with the league has been ended. To fans and supporters groups, thank you. You are the best thing about this league. You all deserve so much more, so much better. Remember, .. Without you, they are nothing. Good luck, y'all. Adrian Healy. Primo, this is pretty insane to be reading from Adrian Healy, a guy that's been in the game for 25 years. And for him to go out with a message like this, it kind of leaves you with a feeling like, hey, is there something else here? Is there something else going on? What do you think the reasons were behind this tweet, man? I mean, could have been a simple goodbye, everybody, but he leaves a little bit of a cryptic message, bro. What do you think he was trying to say?
I mean, Adrian definitely has respect for the fans. You know, he knows that without the fans, this league wouldn't be near what it is right now. So shout out to Adrian for recognizing the fans and what we do for the teams in here mm-hmm. in the league. You know, this league is still growing, so it's not perfect, but I don't know. You know, it's a little bit of a surprise. He has means a lot for Austin. Commentated those first two seasons. Yep. Was commentating with Michael LaHood, which legendary duo, Michael LaHood and Adrian Healy.
Great duo, 100%. Guys.
And so it was nice to hear his voice every now and then for whenever he got that Apple TV deal. But I don't know. Maybe he has his sights on something bigger. Maybe commenting some European games here and there. We'll see what's next for Adrian Healy, but yeah, definitely a little bit. There's a little bit of a message in that tweet, you know.
A little bit of a message in that, and that made fans on social media kind of talk. You know, they took it a little bit further. They brought up the old tweets from Adrian Healy, where he was very open and in criticizing Austin FC's decision in keeping Josh Wolf and backing Josh Wolf, saying that if you believe that Josh Wolf is that 1% special kind of guy, then you know what, go ahead. But it was brought up by fans that Healy had criticized Austin, had criticized the league, and they were wondering if that had something to do with his departure. Now, I'm not saying it was. It's just pure speculation right here on the Top Fly Pod. But I wonder if the rumors are true that Apple and MLS was also cutting commentator salaries in the next coming season, if that had something to do with it. I'd love to know the details of the reasons why Healy's departure, but we probably won't ever know. And with all respect to Mr. Healy, I wish him luck on his next career move, and hopefully it's something big. That guy's a great commentator, knows the game, and I'm going to miss him 100%. Just like Primo said, that duo from the first two seasons, tip-top. Really good time. But all respect to Mr. Adrian Healy. Now, Primo, moving on to the MLS schedule. That still hasn't dropped. It's going to be released soon. Today is the 17th. It's supposed to be dropping on the 20th. What are your top three places you'd like to visit? And also, who do you not want to play on a decision day scenario? Let's say Austin takes it all the way down to decision day in 24. Who does Primo not want to play?
For the first part of the question, who do I want to go away and play, or who do I want to host? It's going to be definitely some Eastern teams. You know, we see the West here and there all the time. So, I mean, Miami for sure. You know, either whether we go there, whether we host, I want Miami. Maybe Crew. I know we had that first game against the Crew. The first season, that was our home opener. So
I don't know if I want the Crew. Okay.
After coming off a championship, you know, I would want to see that game again. Maybe this time at their home, since we hosted them.
Yeah.
I think that'd be cool to, you know, go against the current champions. And for the third one, maybe NYFC.
Take a little trip to New York. I still want to go there too.
Yeah. Red Bulls or NYC.
Now, who do you not want to see on a decision day scenario in 2024?
Decision day scenario. I probably wouldn't want to see maybe like an LAFC. I wouldn't want to face them towards the end, because whether those guys are, you know, struggling or at the very top, those guys don't let the foot off the gas at all, bro. Those guys go full force throughout the whole season. So,
well,
I wouldn't
want to. They did take the foot off the gas later on in the season, but you're right, though. You're right.
So I would say LAFC. I would want to play them more towards like the middle of the season.
Facts. I mean, three places that I like to see. I put a tweet out the other day off the Wearson TV account. Charlotte would be on that list. Seattle is on that list for me. I think, Primo, you already checked that stadium out, or you've been to Portland, so I don't know if you've been to the Seattle stadium. But I'd love to check out the Seattle, Charlotte, like I said. Some people were saying that Chicago is a really cool place to go check out because the city has so much to do. Crew, that's a very interesting one. I put the Crew, Primo, in the who do I not want to see in a decision day scenario. I don't want to see anybody like the Crew. I don't want to see San Jose because we haven't beaten them. LAFC, you know, teams like Philly. You know, give me those easy guys. You know, give me those guys. give me those Houstons. Give me those Dallases. You know what I'm saying? Those easy teams. But it is what it is. December 20th, the schedule should be coming out, so we'll anticipate that. Now, moving forward to something that was probably viral in North America, maybe even Europe, because of the FA Cup talk that had some people going back and forth. Don Garber announces all first teams from the MLS will not participate in US Open Cup. Instead, Primo, it will feature the MLS Next Pro sites like RFCito and teams like Colorado Rapids 2, San Jose 2, Houston Dynamo 2. You get the point. The statement, or the tweet that had everybody talking when it came out, this was from Jeff Reuter. Hopefully I get his last name right, Jeff Reuter. And the tweet statement was this. It says, quote, new. On Friday afternoon, MLS announced that it will have its next pro development teams participate in the 2024 Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup instead of its first teams. The league will reassess participation for future iterations next winter. Primo, where do you stand on this issue? Also, I want you to answer the next question is this all to better the League's Cup and erase the U.S. Open Cup? Where do you stand on this, bro?
I mean, as of right now, I think it's not too bad of a decision. I know a lot of people will probably think otherwise, but...
That's a hot take.
My first thought is how many games these guys are playing throughout the year. You know, we got to take that into consideration. Last year was definitely a long season, especially for the teams that were making it through playoffs and teams that made it through, you know, the first few stages of the U.S. Open Cup, and then we had Leeds Cup. So I think giving these guys a little bit of a break is good for now. You know, they're saying that they're going to reassess everything next year, and hopefully they can come up with a better plan on how these games are scheduled and how they can integrate these three tournaments, because these guys get burned out. So also, in the first few stages, you tend to see these first teams play a lot of the youngsters. So, you know, it's not too much of a difference there. Yeah, LAFC did it, I think, their first two rounds last season, where they're just playing the young guys. So for these young guys to go out and get some experience against USL teams, against each other in a different, in a bigger stage other than MLS Next Pro, I think it's good for their development also.
Now, Primo, you do realize that that's going to be a hot take, mate. A lot of people are going to come after you and say, hey, well, then that's the league's fault for inputting a tournament like League's Cup in a congested schedule. You know, people are going to come after you and say U.S. Open Cup is 100 years. You know, it's historic. It's the oldest, I think, cup tournament in this side of the world, in this continent. And you're just going to write it off for a new tournament like League's Cup, all because of, you know, maybe a player like Messi?
Nah, I mean, I'm not completely writing it off, because like I mentioned, there's still hope that they go back and figure things out. You know, maybe a little bit of a break would do us good, and for them to figure what to do. But if it's completely written off, then yeah, that would be a little bit of a bummer, because how long this tournament has been going on. And to us, it is like RFA Cup. It is our Copa del Rey. So to not have that tournament in the future would I think hurt the league in the long run. But I mean, we still have Leagues Cup this year, so we're still gonna see some kind of cup action, and we're seeing it against Liga MX team, so it's a little bit of international.
Now, Primo, I don't want to leave you to hang out to dry by yourself and not bring up points that'll help back up the kind of narrative that you're trying to bring up. There were some people also out there, Primo, that were saying this is great for the development of our young kids that are coming up in the MLS Next Pro, because there has been a lot of conversation that we need to develop our youth more, that we need to put more effort into developing those young guys coming up from MLS Next Pro, that level needs to come up. Some folks were saying that the USL was at a higher level than the MLS Next Pro last year. I remember those talks, those conversations, saying that Damian Loss, for example, should go to a USL side because the MLS Next Pro was a level beneath USL, right? So there's also conversations of people saying that this is going to be good for the development stage of MLS, and ultimately it'll help the structure, I guess, of U.S. soccer in the long run. I mean, do you see where people are coming from when they bring that up, you know, saying that this will help the development, the growth of young players?
Yeah, I can see where those people are coming from, you know. Not, we can't say right now at the moment that every single team in the league has a great youth development, youth camp going on. You know, fortunately, Austin FC, I think, is one of those sides that are doing something good with their youth. But I don't think every single team throughout the league is doing that right now. So something like this could help teams who are, I guess, struggling in that aspect.
Now, it is also important to point out that if an MLS Next Pro side does play US Open Cup, we could send X number of first team players down with that team, if I'm not mistaken, because last year we saw guys from LAFC like Crepeau. He was gaining his fitness back and he was playing with their LAFC 2 side in that MLS Next Pro League. We dropped Kip Keller from the first team onto the FCito side, and we were bringing up guys and dropping them back down, like David Rodriguez, Valentin Noel, and CJ Fodry was a player that got promotion at the end of the season to the first squad. But Primo, I want to read some comments from the fans that off of the Instagram post on We're Austin TV. You can go ahead and check us out. Give us a follow if you want to keep up with Austin FC news. But there was a lot of conversation about how evil the MLS is being, or MLS is being. I'm sorry, I had to put the V in there. I know people get irritated by that. But folks are pointing out the evilness of MLS, especially Don Garber and some of the team owners, and trying to just suffocate the USL, trying to suffocate these lower market teams, because it was pointed out that when U.S. Open Cup does come around, those USL sides, when they got to play an Austin FC, when they got to play a Houston Dynamo, when they got to play a Columbus Crew, when they got to play an MLS side, they sell a bunch of tickets. That's the day that they make their money. And by you doing this, it takes money out of their pocket and really puts their existence in jeopardy. You know what I'm saying? And that was a lot of criticism that was being thrown at the league. I'll read some comments from fans and then some comments from some known pundits on social media. But off of the We're Austin TV account, we had E. Johnson say, "I hate this decision. It's mad that the league even dictates this. Just let teams decide whether or not to destroy the longest active running soccer competition in the U.S. and see which teams actually give a flying F about A, the team winning a legit trophy, and B, the state of U.S. soccer down the local levels in many places. Imagine the huge money boost that's going away to some clubs get from playing an MLS team." And that's the point that I was mentioning to you, Primo. Some other people saying, this is Lee on the line. He says, "Too many games. Players were getting wrecked. Protect your investments/assets. That's kind of what you said, Primo, earlier. You know, too many games. John Canizarro, 02, says, "They must have done this so Josh wouldn't lose to a USL team again." Jay Aliaga says, "Absolute joke of a decision. Major league clown show." So there's not been a good response from the fans on social media to this decision. Now, this is Kyle Bonagura at Bonagura ESPN. This tweet says, "Major League Soccer will not send its first team to the U.S. Open Cup in 2024, instead opting to enter teams from MLS Next Pro." That's more of a statement tweet announcement. Let me get that one out the way. This is from Pablo Iglesias Maurer. I mean, this is the one that I wanted to read, Primo. It says, an absolute disgrace and one final alienating blow to an entire subset of fans who already cast a critical eye at MLS to begin with. And who can blame them? Ridiculous, man. And it's honestly a thread. He has another tweet that says, this move tidily sums up what so many people dislike about MLS to begin with. The corporate BS, the fact that they seek to assert control over more aspects of the game of soccer in the U.S., and the fact that they sometimes have an active disdain for the history of the game here. To be clear, it is not MLS's job or obligation to foster the growth of smaller leagues or respect the traditions of American soccer. They also don't have to actively poop on those things, but here we are. So very, very critical of the league there from Pablo Iglesias Maurer. He is a writer for The Athletic, if I'm not mistaken. And then somebody we know, Primo, Hercules Gomez, he says, this is wild. So many ways that MLS could have helped make the U.S. Open Cup better. They not only turned their back on the Open Cup, but handed out potential death blow for the tournament. I kind of agree with him there. Now, Primo, one more thing I'll read here. This is a statement from our supporters group here in Austin, Los Verdes supporters group. They put out a statement on social media, and it says, Los Verdes is deeply disappointed by the decision of MLS to pull first teams from the 2024 U.S. Open Cup. As the nation's longest-running national soccer competition, the Open Cup offers a clear opportunity to grow the game in our country in a way that reflects the true spirit of Los Verdes' focus on football y comunidad. The magic of the Open Cup is about everyone having an opportunity at greatness, from amateur teams to the top division. The journey of forging new bonds and friendly rivalries in soccer-loving communities across the country within this competition, it's vital to the game's growth in the United States. Today's decision robs all MLS supporters of the opportunity to see their first team players participate in this historic competition, which is a fundamental insult to our country's soccer heritage. We implore MLS to reverse this decision immediately. So LV coming out swinging for this decision to be changed, to be, rectified? They say fútbol y comunidad for everybody. So Primo, I did a lot of talking there, mate. What is your reaction to some of these tweets, some of these statements be put out by some important people and groups in the community?
I mean, I think everyone, you know, has a valid point. I understand where those people are coming from, and I could see how all this could potentially hurt the U.S. Open Cup, and who knows, we might not even see it after 2024. This might be a downfall for it. This might be a step up. It's understandable where everyone's at with it. We're just gonna see if Leagues Cup can hold up against it. You know, see if it can make up for what's going to go on this year. And it's a whole different tournament. It's a month-long tournament. We get a little bit of like I mentioned, international action. They were talking about, I think, bringing some games over to Mexico. So that's a little, that's exciting. We're just going to see if it can hold up to against the U.S. Open Cup.
Yeah, man, I hate to see a historic cup like the U.S. Open Cup, go out of style or go out of fashion, that the MLS no longer wants to participate in it. But I do see where some folks say this could benefit the MLS next pro level by them playing against USL sides. That's going to be very interesting to see what happens. Now, I don't think the MLS is going to change their opinion. I don't know if the protests are going to get to them. Hopefully they do. But I don't see them going back. I think they really want to push Leagues Cup, Primo. I think that's their baby. That's what they want to do. And I don't know, man, they might get their way if I'm being very, very honest here tonight. But all right, we'll see what happens with that. It's time to move on to one of the next topics here tonight. And this is just a quick one, Primo. Our friends from Top Bin 90, they reported that Nashville SC acquires rights to the winger Mackenzie Gaines. Nashville claims rights to Gaines after Charlotte denied his 2024 contract option. Gaines made 48 appearances in two seasons for Charlotte. Primo, just real quick answer. Should Gaines have been on Austin's radar to come back, or is this maybe a page that we need to turn?
I think it's a page that we need to turn. I think, we had Gaines. We saw what he was able to provide to Austin SC. I wouldn't want to be the type of team to, you know, let someone go and then turn back and say, oh, maybe we did a mistake and then re-sign the guy and maybe it doesn't work or maybe it does. But I think it's definitely a big step up for Mackenzie Gaines. I really loved him when he was in Austin FC. So it was a little bit sad to see him leave when he went to Charlotte. But, you know, he's playing for Nashville now. Nashville is a really good team. I think they're going to get the most out of him there. And I think he's going to have a good season with them.
Man, Gaines is a player, Primo, that had a lot of people talking, especially that golazo he scored. What was it, against the Galaxy, bro? You know, he went and he was thrown at the Longhorns. Fucking sick, bro. But it is what it is. Just like you said, maybe a page that we need to turn, bro. Maybe a page we need to turn. But all right, G. We'll move on to a bit of a Dani Pereira update, Primo. I don't know if the fans are ready for this. Maybe they are, because he's still an Austin FC player. He's still an Austin FC player. There's nothing to confirm as of yet. But there has been a change in who is the leader for Dani Pereira. Now, it is unclear, actually, who the new leader is. But I can tell you that the team that was in first place to sign him before is no longer in a position to sign him right off the bat. It's about LAFC. They're not – I kind of butchered that a little bit. Sorry, y'all. I'll go back on it. LAFC is no longer the leader in the race to sign Dani Pereira, to keep it simple. There has been a little bit of change. Capitano Verde has communicated to me. The update should be going on Discord here soon. But LAFC is no longer the leader in the race to sign Dani Pereira. It's an unnamed MLS team. Actually, I don't even know if it's an MLS team. It could be somebody from outside the league. But it's no longer LAFC. Now, Primo, any thoughts on that little bit of information that I just shared?
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising.
I made it a little confusing. Sorry, my bad.
I think, yeah, a little bit surprising. It just gives you an idea of how quick things can change. You know, one day you're the front runner, the next day you're not. I didn't want to see Danny go to LAFC, so I think that's a little bit of good news for me and maybe some Austin FC fans, but I'm trying to wonder who this team is now. You know, who's the front runner? Like you said, maybe it's not even an MLS team. Maybe teams started seeing the situation with Danny and are starting to sweep in and see what they can do. But hopefully it is someone outside, and hopefully it's a bigger step for Danny.
Now, before, you know, we started the pod, I had conversations earlier in the week with Football Critic. I was talking to Bali. I was talking to Neff. And we were kind of going back and forth about this topic. Well, I mean, who is it then, right? Who is that front runner that's going for Danny P? And we didn't come to a conclusion with the team, but we came to a conclusion on maybe a theory. And just like you mentioned, Primo, a couple seconds ago, is it a team, you know, that just came into it? Is it a team from outside that took note of the Dani Pereira situation and said, hey, you know what? We can make something happen for this kid. Hold on, right? Because last week or a couple of days ago, we reported that there was four, maybe five teams after Pereira, being LAFC, Columbus, New York City, Miami, and the maybe team was Charlotte. Well, we know the LAFC is no longer that front runner, but the news was viral. The news went all over this side of the world. I mean, it was all over North America. It got so big that even Transfer Market picked up the news and made an edit themselves, and they asked fans, hey, pick Dani Pereira's next team. I mean, for him to make it that far, that says a lot about Danny. And if, I don't know, I mean, social media is crazy nowadays, right? Anybody can have a phone and make an Instagram, make a Facebook, and you'll see what these different accounts post. You know, let's say X team across the Atlantic or across the Pacific saw this post and looked at Dani Pereira's profile and said, hey, we could use a six like this. Hey, we can make this guy a little bit more creative in the final third for us. So kind of like what you hinted at, Primo, could another team have joined this race, noted that the situation is doable for them? I'm very interested to see how this saga ends. And it could end by Danny staying in Austin. But if he stays in Austin, most likely we're going to see him walk free. And that's not going to be good for a lot of Austin FC fans, especially with a player like Danny, with what we could have got from him. But all right, Primo, anything else we can add on the Dani Pereira update, bro?
No, I mean, like you mentioned, we're just going to have to see how all this plays out. And, you know, who knows, maybe he does stay in Austin, maybe he doesn't. But yeah, definitely some interesting news there.
Definitely, definitely, bro. All righty, pretty well. Now, moving on to some Kip Keller conversation. Kip Keller joins FC Cincinnati via trade. It's a very interesting trade. The press release goes like this. It says, FC Cincinnati has acquired the rights to defender Kip Keller from Austin FC in exchange for the Orange and Blues third-round pick in MLS Super Draft 2024. The club announced today the Orange and Blue have signed Keller, 23 years old, to a contract through 2024 with options for 2025 and 2026. This is a quote from Chris Albright, the FC Cincinnati general manager. He says, and this is interesting, Primo. He says, I'd like to welcome Kip to Cincinnati. We initially identified him before the 2022 draft as a talented young player with great potential. Now, we're excited to have him join the group, and we look forward to his continued development with FC Cincinnati. Now, Primo, I love that quote because I want to, not only do I want a fresh start for Kip Keller, but I want a good move for Kip. Now, he's joining a team that already identified him as a player that has tons of potential. So I feel like they're going to really expand his development. They're going to, you know, really try to make him into the best player that Kip Keller can be, which we all know the kid had potential when he got to Austin. Things didn't go his way. There was a nightmare night opening day at Q2 Stadium against St. Louis, which I'm sure Kip Keller would love to forget as well as a lot of Austin FC fans. But Kip Keller makes the move. Now, let's see. Some history on Keller, Primo. Keller was selected by Austin FC with the fifth overall pick in MLS Super Draft 2022 out of St. Louis University. The center back taken three spots behind FC Cincinnati goalkeeper Roman Celentano was a member of the 2022 Generation Adidas class alongside FCC's starting keeper. With Austin, Keller made 17 total appearances spanning the regular season, CCL, Leagues Cup, and U.S. Open Cup. He also made 16 appearances, all starts in 2023 for MLS Next Pro Champions, Austin FC 2. So, Primo, why didn't it work out for Kip Keller in Austin?
I mean, he definitely had that huge blow at the beginning of the season, just right off the bat, huge mistake. And I think that might have gotten to him, you know, it might have hurt his confidence a bit. It did take the team a while to trust him. You know, that center back position is a really important role overall. You know, you let a ball go through and it can be a straight goal. So those positions are really important. I think it took Austin FC to fully gain, fully trust Kip Keller. So at the end of the day, it's good for him. You know, he's going to a team that is ready to accept him. They're ready to look past his mistakes, and maybe they already had a development plan for him. Like you mentioned, they've been looking at him for a while, even before the draft. So maybe they already know the route they want to go with him. He's still fresh. He's still a young player. So they're able to mold him however they like. And towards the end of last season, he started to redeem himself a bit, I think, with Austin FC 2. And you know, they went on to win MLS Next Pro. So it's not like he closed out the year bad. So I think there's still hope for Mr. True. Kip Keller. I think Cincinnati is a great place for him to be at. And I think they're just going to do a good job developing him.
Now, I got one more question, Primo. And I actually agree with what you said on that take on why they didn't work out. But what does this mean that Austin has to bring in another center back, either promote somebody from within, like Mazzaferro, or give Romagna another shot, or loan out Romagna and bring in another center back? I mean, what does this mean for the defensive situation in Austin FC?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to maybe call up someone. You know, we did see some few names that I think would be good for the squad coming from Austin FC too. But yeah, we went through a center back crisis once or twice already, and it's just a horrible position to be in. At the moment, I think if we were to lose one player, one center back, it would be it would make things super complicated for us. So I think just to have a little bit of a cushion, a little bit of a more depth in that role would be good for us. I don't necessarily would want to spend the money. So call up one of the young guys. You know, I think there's a couple of names, you know, that can do good for us.
something that fans have been saying this season is Rodo is going to cook us some ramen. He's going to cook some cheap stuff. But we'll see what happens. You know, if Austin FC is going to get some GAM, some TAM, we'll see if we can make some moves within the league, because they're not going to be flashy moves. They're not going to be big splash moves, but I'm sure there's some guys within the league that we can trade for, or we can sign as free agents, or, you know, a bunch of different stages that the MLS has this offseason of acquiring players. So I'm sure Rodo is not done cooking everybody. Everybody's saying, oh, we need to sign more players. We're going to sign more players. But right now we're talking about Kip, and he's departing. So now the departure of Kip Keller wasn't as simple as people think. The official transaction is FC Cincinnati signed defender Kip Keller to a contract through 2024 with options for 2025 and 2026 after acquiring his rights from Austin FC in exchange for FC Cincinnati's third round selection in MLS Super Draft 2024. That's going to take place on December 14th, 2023. So, why does the Kip Keller trade matter? Why is it important? Well, it leads up, it rolls on, it transitions into the new signing that we got, Jader O'Brien. Now, Precourt drops Vet at the Smoke, and Jader O'Brien joins Austin FC. The official press release, Primo, from Austin FC Communications is Austin FC today announced that the club selected winger Jader O'Brien with a first pick of the Major League Soccer MLS Reentry Draft Stage 1. O'Brien, a 28-year-old attacker originally from Maria La Baja, Colombia, has 17 goals and 13 assists and 94 career MLS appearances. After spending the last three seasons with FC Dallas, he also scored in an MLS Cup playoff match last month against Seattle. We read that on the Twitter space the other day. Rodolfo Borrell has a quote on Jader. He says, Jader has been consistently performing well during the last few seasons in MLS, and he presents a dynamic threat in the wide areas. We're happy to welcome him to the club and to Austin. Once again, that was Rodo Borrell. So how did we acquire O'Brien in the first place? You might be asking yourself, Primo, and I know a lot of Austin FC fans also had that same question. Austin FC announced that the club acquired the first overall pick in the 2024 MLS Reentry Draft Stage 1 via two separate trades with Toronto and Cincinnati. Cincinnati, Kip Keller, you see why that trade is still important here in this situation. So the first step, Austin received Cincinnati's natural third-round pick in the 2024 MLS Super Draft in exchange for the rights of defender Kip Keller after Keller opted out of the Reentry Draft Stage 1. Austin previously declined Keller's contract option for November 17th, 2023. So that's part one. There's a part two. Now, the second part of this is that Austin then traded the third round MLS Super Draft pick to Toronto, along with the fifth overall pick in the reentry draft stage one, in exchange for the first overall pick in the reentry draft stage one that took place on December 14th. Now, it's super confusing, kind of ridiculous to even be talking about, but it's MLS, everybody, and we do have to mention it. Now, it's Toronto, it's Austin FC, it's that Sean Rubio connection. There was a lot of people saying, hey, this is way too complicated for a guy like Rodo Borrell to be doing it by himself. So fans were asking themselves, did somebody help Rodo Borrell in this one? I mean, he has his team in Austin, right, Primo? But Phil West said that he didn't get this confirmed, but that he thinks that there was a Sean Rubio and Rodo Borrell little thing going on in this kind of trade, because Sean Rubio went back to Toronto where we got him from first, right? So there's chatter, there's conversation, Primo, that this could have been a meal that was cooked up by Chef Rubio and Chef Borrell. So what are your thoughts, Primo, on the events leading up to O'Brien's signature? Not his signature yet, but his agreement to join Austin. What are your thoughts on how we got this guy?
I mean, it was super complicated, I think. If you're someone that is just new to the league or trying to understand how this league works, you would have heard that and would have just been confused. But that's America for you, man. You know, you got all these trades and all these drafts going on, and it gets a little complicated, but, you know, it shows you how, you know, what kind of business Austin's on. You know, they're able to sneak in, do these trades, make things happen, make all the dominoes fall in the right place. And mm-hmm. I think Sean Rubio may have assisted Roto there, but maybe he's his sous chef for this cook up. But, you know, it might have been a little bit too complicated for Roto to to cook up on his own. So he is still new to the league, and you know, there's all these rules that that go on. So you know, it turned out to I think is gonna what I think is gonna be a decent signing. So pretty good.
So enough on the trade conversation, pretty well. I know you and I are already fed up with it. We had a whole space about it. I think we had about 700 people tune into it. I'll retweet it tomorrow so fans can listen to it if they haven't yet. It'll resurface on your timeline. But, you know, we talked a lot about Obreon. Now, I want to talk about his stats, pretty much, what he's going to bring onto the pitch, because you said, hey, I think this is going to be a good signing. Well, let's talk about why he's going to be a good signing, why he's going to bring good things to the Austin FC roster. Now, his 2023 stats, all competitions, 2,315 minutes, 37 matches played, a 73.1% passing accuracy. He was called offside 22 times. I'll mention why that's important to me. 7 goals and 4 assists, once again, across all competitions. So why the 22 times called offside stat, Primo? Well, I think that's something we can correct. That's something we can work on with him and turn him into a legit attacking option for Austin FC, because that tells me that this guy is trying to get forward. He's trying to get behind players, behind lines of defenders, but he's just taking off a bit too early. It also tells me that maybe the midfielder is not giving service enough time. You know, he's not giving the service off in enough time is what I'm trying to say. So fans were saying, hey, why that stat? Why did you bring that up? Well, I think it's kind of important to know it. I mean, we can work on it, and maybe we can, like I said earlier, we can turn it into a legit attacking threat. So based off the stats that you just heard, Primo, what do you expect from this guy? How many goals do you think he's going to score for Austin FC? You think more than 10 or less than 10?
I think it's going to be less than 10. I think he might bag a few goals, but I think where he's really going to shine is in that transition going into the final third of the other team, maybe a counterattack. I've heard this guy's fast. You know, he's gotten a few offsides, so maybe, like you say, he's taking off a bit early. I think he's going to be a pacey player for us. He is on the smaller side. He's 5'5". So I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to be in the box for the corners, but I think he's going to be there when you need him. He's going to be making those runs. I think we have the midfield to feed him. And I think, like I mentioned, maybe not so much. He's probably not going to have an impact and scoring goals, but I think he's definitely going to help us out switching the ball and going into an attacking transition, which I think we struggled a bit this last season.
For sure. Now, we did post those heat maps on the Weird Austin TV Instagram account and on Twitter. You should go check that out if you'd like. You know, we shows the heat map for MLS, 32 games played, his Leagues Cup heat map where he played 4 games, and then the US Open Cup, they only played 1 match. They lost to Nashua, if I'm not mistaken. But you can see this guy's, you know, on the left, on the right, he's used in both sides. In the Leagues Cup, you see him, you know, clearly dropping back to help defend, also pushing forward and cutting inside. You can see how there's kind of like an arrow pointing into the opponent's goal. In the U.S. Open Cup, not that much data to analyze because there's only 1 game played, but you see how he was very heavily involved on that right wing, on that right side, staying very wide. That's going to be very interesting. Now, we did have a FC Dallas fan, Jose, from Golds TV. He came on the space the other day, and he was telling Austin fans how he's going to be a good addition for the Verde side, for the Verde and Black side, but that he thinks that it's all going to depend on Josh Wolf, like how he uses him, because he says that Obreon's success is tied into the tactics of the coach and how they tend to use him. So, I mean, Primo, do you have confidence that Josh Wolf is going to be able to use this player right? I mean, these are now signings that are made by Rodo Borrell with the help of Josh Wolf. So these are Wolf and Borrell signings. They got to know how to use these guys. So do you think that they'll be able to, you know, use him to his best abilities as they can?
I think so. I think the players that Rolo's bringing in, I think he's definitely want to at least give them a shot and see what they can do and see how they can adapt to these tactics and what Josh Wolf is trying to build. So I do see him getting definitely an opportunity. He's gonna have to make a name for him to just like any other player. Facts. But just because this is a Rolo signing, I think that's what makes it for him. I think, you know, we're all saying, you know, let Rolo cook. This is what he made. So now let's see what he can do with it.
Correct. Pretty more facts. Exactly. That's pretty spot on there. Now, it is important to note also, this being a Rolo signing, we had to trade up to get this guy. So we made moves to get this pick to be number one. And there was, if we were number one, we had the first pick of a long list of names. And we went after this guy. I hope Rolo and Josh Wolf know what they are cooking, because they went after this guy and they got their target. So we'll see what happens. Now, a couple more questions for you, Primo. I asked you about how many goals you think he would score. You said less than 10. I'm going to hold you to it. Now, the assist question, less than 5 or more than 5 assists for Austin FC in 2024?
I think he's going to get more than 5. I think hopefully he gets more than 5. Like I mentioned, pacey guy. He's going to be finding those spaces, looking for, you know, what's open. So I think, yeah, we need someone who can assist as well. So hopefully it can be Mr. Jader O'Brien.
Jader. Football Critic said it pretty good, I'm sure. Jader. I'm calling Jader. Until I know. But okay. One more question, Primo. It says, how many games will Jader start for Austin FC? 25%, 50%, 75%, or over 90%?
I'll probably say maybe like 25 to like a third. So okay. I don't expect this guy to, you know, start right off the bat. It might take him some time to win his spot and convince the coach and the rest of the staff of what he can do. But, you know, there's still preseason left. There's, you know, so much of a season left. There's so much time for this guy to prove himself. So, like I mentioned, I don't think he was starting for Dallas. I don't think he was like a solid star for them. So I don't think he's going to be a solid star for us right off the bat, but maybe he can work his way into that.
I think that's a good pick. Maybe 30% is fair shout in his first season for us. He does have to fight for his name. He has to, you know, earn his spot in the starting lineup. He's not going to be a walk-on. I hope he's not. But if he wins it in preseason, Primo, I was telling you earlier today whenever we were doing podcast prep, was that for me, what is going to set this guy up is the kind of preseason he has, because if he's able to integrate himself to the squad in preseason, take in the instructions from Coach Wolf to the very best as he can, I think he's going to be good for us. But if I see that in preseason, oh, this guy's not clicking, it's not really working out, I mean, I don't expect him to gel right off the bat 100%. I know that it's a process, but if I see it clicking right off the bat from day one in preseason, I'm like, boom, okay, nothing to really worry about. But if you see that it's not really, you know, going through, it's not really gelling the way that we thought, then I do see where you're coming from, where, hey, this guy's going to take a while to start games. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what kind of mindset this guy brings into Austin FC, to this squad. Now, Jose from Goals TV, he did say that for FC Dallas, he was an off-the-bench guy. He was a guy that came on the field that maybe in the 65th minute, 75th minute, to give a attacking option, to give that relief to the players that started. He was that option off the bench, right? But then in his final season, his last season with FC Dallas, 2023, he had to play a lot more games. He had to start a lot more matches because of injuries. You know, he said Ferreira's injury or a lot of other injuries in FC Dallas forced Jader O'Brien to be playing a lot more games, to starting a lot more games than FC Dallas fans were used to. So I'm curious to see how we're going to use him, how many games he's going to see, how many games he's going to get. And of course, pretty much, like I mentioned, that preseason, to me, that's everything, bro. The preseason to me is everything. If these guys have a great first couple of games, I'm going to be relieved. But if our preseason is rocky, if our preseason is difficult, I'm not expecting anything wild in 2024. But we'll see what happens. We'll see. Now, Primo, anything else you want to note on the topics that were touched up on today? We touched up on Danny, Kip, Jader O'Brien, and the US Open Cup decision before we get into the Patreon questions. Anything else you want to say, mate?
No, I think I'm good. I think we've hit everything we've gotten so far as Austin FC news. You know, Offseason's always a little bit tough when it comes to providing news, but we try to get every bit out of it.
Yeah, no kidding, man. Offseason has been brutal, and it's been very long this time around for Austin FC fans, but we're working our way through trying to get those transfer scoops, those transfer rumor scoops for everybody out there. Like I said earlier, if you want to join the Patreon, go ahead. The transfer rumor channel is always something interesting. It never fails to disappoint. But hey, it is what it is. Now, Primo, we have some Patreon questions here from the members on Discord. Today in the morning, I said, hey, y'all, it's Sunday, recording today. Send in any questions you have for the podcast. And we got an interesting one right off the bat from Adis. Shout out to my G, Adis Silva. This is his question. Now, context, put in your brain, put in your mind the video of Josh Wolf and Rodo Borrell at HEB bagging groceries, okay? Put that image in your head, everybody. The question goes like this. Thoughts on the club releasing pictures of the coaching staff buying groceries for needy people at HEB? Are they trying to rehab Wolf's image ahead of the season? Why only coaches were involved? Other players making local appearances, Galley, for example, most people probably have zero clue who they were. Interesting question there by Maiji Ari Silva. Rodo Borrell was, he did some promo. Josh Wolf did some promo at a local HEB. I think it was the one on Burnett Road. I know it was not the one on Rumberg and North Lamar. I know they did not go to that one. But, Primo, what's your thoughts on this? I mean, are they trying to, you know, kind of repair Josh Wolf's image for the community?
I would say maybe just a little bit, since they're involving just coaching staff this year. But I know also this isn't the first year that they do that. You know, I think they've done it every year since Austin FC has been here. And every year I've seen Mr. Josh Wolf out there. What is different this year is that, you know, it was just coaching staff. I think previous years they've taken some of the players along with Josh. So that was a little bit different. But I think, you know, it's just something that Austin FC, I think, does for the community at the end of the day. Helping out some families, but yeah, it definitely wasn't the one at Rumberg.
It's definitely not the one at Rumberg, bro. And I honestly thought that they would have gone to the one at Rumberg, because if you want to make an impact, I mean, you got the one at Rumberg. I know there's some areas like in the South Side, probably have some HEBs that are really kind of like where we grew up. But even, I mean, we didn't grow up in like the nicer neighborhoods. We grew up in some pretty rough parts of Austin. So we're very familiar with Rumberg and North Lamar HEV and what comes with that HEV. I'm sorry, I'm trying not to laugh. One thing that I did want to say is that if I was a customer at HEB and I saw a guy like Rodo Borrell, you know, bagging my groceries, I'd be like, oh, it's just the manager with an Austin FC jersey or with an Austin FC jacket. I wouldn't know who Rodo Borrell is. You know what I'm saying? I want to see Seba. I want to see Diego Fagundes, who's no longer here. I want to see Danny Pereira bagging my groceries. I mean, I'm going to just say Rodo Borrell is probably the HEB CEO that's in town bagging my groceries. I don't know. I like the gesture. I like the thought of it, but I kind of agree. Like, you should let players do it. Nobody's going to know about the coaching staff. Shout out to the coaching staff and kudos to I'm sorry. Kudos to them, bro. Kudos to them for going to the HEB. Next time, go to the Lamar one. How about that? But all right, moving on to Profe's question, mate. It says, all right, I'm sorry. Profe's question says, I need y'all's thoughts in the MLS leaving Open Cup. And he has another question, but we can answer that one. Primo, you kind of mentioned earlier, we touched up on the Open Cup, but answer Profe's question real quick. Your thoughts on MLS leaving Open Cup?
Real quick, you know, it's not, in my opinion, too bad of a decision. You know, we got these kids that are still able to show out and can give you some good games, you know. The Austin FC 2 definitely was a little bit more of an interesting side to see this season, against the first team. But, they're still able to give you some good games, you know. It might be cool to see Austin FC go against the USL side, maybe like San Antonio or New Mexico. But yeah, I think that's my point of view right there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to say this. My thoughts on MLS leaving Open Cup, I think it's a bit of a controversial decision. It's going to have some consequences, 100%. We're going to see a lot of financial consequences across the country and the USL sides. But I'm going to say that I kind of see why MLS did it, because, I mean, schedule congestion, like you mentioned, Primo, maybe they're not making enough money off US Open Cup. Maybe they're tired of being embarrassed by USL teams that are better than some sides that they've sent for those matches. Like when we got beat by San Antonio, I mean, we still get bantered for that. You know what I'm saying? That's 2 years later. So go ahead, Primo. You had a point.
This is something that I thought of after we had gone through the topic the first time. But the whole like TV rights thing, if I'm not mistaken, and if I am, you know, someone can correct me, but I don't think US Open Cup games are streamed through Apple TV. I think
no, you had to go to YouTube and like Bleacher Report.
Yeah, Bleacher Report. I think like ESPN2, I think we'll have them every now and then. Mm-hmm. I don't think Apple TV had any control of that. So
you it's know, all that, about money.
Yeah, that might be
it's something. All about money. And you know who they are in complete control of, if I'm not mistaken? The Leagues Cup.
Leagues Cup.
That's their baby. That's their baby. And with all the attention that USA is getting in, you know, the past couple of years and the future to come because of the World Cup coming here and Messi coming here, I mean, they're going to try to make as many moves as they can. And, you know, I just think that they're just trying to suffocate the US Open Cup. They're just done with you know, working with something that's not theirs ultimately, and they're trying to build on something that they're 100% in control of, like Leagues Cup. So I'm curious to see what Leagues Cup is going to turn into, because if they can get games in Mexico, I mean, that's kind of exciting. I'm not going to lie. That's kind of exciting soccer to see how MLS sides do in stadiums like Toluca's, in stadiums like El Azteca, who we're watching tonight, Tigres, America, and it looks like a packed stadium. Stadiums, you know, like Mazatlan's, I don't know, like Chivas is Akron's. It's going to be very interesting to see what Leagues Cup can turn into, but you can't replace the magic of the U.S. Open Cup. You just can't. You know, the magic of the FA Cup, the U.S. Open Cup, the Copa del Rey, it's really awesome to see those little teams punch up and ultimately sometimes knock out big teams, like when San Antonio knocked us out, you know, Austin FC and so on and so forth. But I don't like it. I don't like it, but I know I could see why they did it, and it's because of money, financial moves. Now, moving forward, a couple more questions before we end tonight's podcast. Profe says, does the O'Brien signing change the idea that Rodo is cooking with instant ramen this transfer window? No. I think it's still ramen, but we chose a healthy ramen brand because we traded up, so we knew what we were doing by signing Jader, but it's still a ramen dinner. So we're eating ramen, but we're at a place that specializes in like ramen and pho and stuff like that. Somewhere like in Chinatown, somewhere good. That's what I think. And Primo knows a lot about ramen. So Primo, real quick, what's the best place to get ramen in Austin?
Best place to get ramen in Austin. I'm going to say, I mean, Ramen Tatsuya is definitely good. You know, that's a good option. If you're not really into ramen, they always have some good stuff at Ramen Tatsuya. It's right there. Next to the Target on 183 by, right there by the hood.
Right there by the hood. All right. Now, this is from Tucker, bro. He says, thoughts on Rodo after 6 months with him? Because me personally, I think he's just another Josh Wolf hiding behind Pep Guardiola's treble. Bro, Tucker does not pull any punches back, dude. I think he needs a year. I don't think 6 months is enough. I think he needs a full year, and then ask me this question again, Tucker. I know he's not going to like that answer, but I'm not ready to answer it yet. All right, Tucker, bro. All right, going on to JC's question. He says, how far are you willing to go to protest poor decisions by the club and or the league? Skip games, not buying merch, chants, walkouts. What's your method to make your voice heard, and how would you get others to join with you? I think a walkout is probably the most notable, being silent at a stadium like Q2 when the Cecilio Dominguez situation happened. Not buying merch, I don't know if that would work, because some folks are going to buy merch regardless. I might raise my hand for that one. I think the walkout and the silence really says a lot. And maybe not even going to the games, you know, maybe because if you walk out, you're still buying a ticket. You know what I'm saying? So just hitting these teams financially. So, you know, that's how I would, how I would do it. How would I make people join me? I mean, we have a pretty big platform. I'm not saying that we're going to use it, Warehouse and TV, to protest, but if we ever wanted to protest something like what Los Verdes is doing, you know, putting out a statement for your fans to see, standing outside the Q2 stadium and handing out little flyers or something, because you do got to get the word out. So I'm curious to see what kind of response the Austin FC community is going to have to the U.S. Open Cup decision. Now, Warehouse and TV might unite with LV and, you know, protest this. We do need to talk a little bit more about what it's going to look like for us. But I know that a lot of us don't like this decision, but I know that there's some chatter of, hey, this could help the growth of football in this country for the long run. I'm not gonna say who said that, but somebody in Warehouse and TV said that they're 100% in favor for this move. I'm not gonna say who, but somebody said they're 100% in favor for this. All right, Primo. Now, another question is, with the caveat that rumors are rumors and nothing has been solidified, name names you've heard being thrown out. Oh, I don't know if we can answer that, bro.
That's what I was
saying. I don't know if we can answer that, bro. I'll say this. Hey, what can I say without getting in trouble with Capitano Verde? No, I can't. I can't answer that. I can't. There's four names I can talk about right now, but I can't. I can't, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm very sorry. That information will come out, but we just can't say who, what players we have been.
I would just say maybe just, you know, stay tuned to that Discord channel, man, because a lot of things get spilled in that Discord channel. So, you know, maybe you can be on the lookout there. But yeah, like you mentioned,
I can't really, you know, come out with the names, but everything that has been released does go on Discord. There has been a couple of things that we haven't mentioned yet, but you know what? I'll say a name, bro. There's one player that we haven't made it public, but there was talks or there was rumors, there was little conversations that Austin FC was keen on signing him. It was Ryan Gauld. Now, I don't know much about that player. I think he's from the East. I don't even know who he plays for. But supposedly Ryan Gauld was a player that Austin FC was keen on signing. I know that he's a striker, number 9. So that's one name there. But all right, Primo. We're at the end of the podcast tonight, at the end of the episode. Maybe we took a little bit longer than we wanted to, but we had to touch up on a lot of things. Anything else you want to say as we sign off tonight, Primo?
Just, you know, for the people that haven't joined the Patreon, like you mentioned at the beginning of the episode, it's there's some good info there. Get you access to that Discord where, you know, things do get talked about there that you don't really see on Twitter or on X or Instagram. So it's definitely worth those $5. You know, there's a lot of content coming soon. And I'm just ready for the season to start, man.
I agree, mate. And hopefully people that are already on it, they enjoy it. You know, and I think there's something that's going to drop right now. So Il Capitano Verde dropped on Discord right now. Something, but we'll see what happens there. Now, everybody, hopefully you had a good night here with us, a good day. Hopefully you have a good morning, and we'll come at y'all with some more content soon, some more podcasts. And we still need to do our Patreon episode for midweek, breaking down Leo Väisänen, and we'll be back with more soon. I'm Hernan. That's my G Primo. We'll see y'all soon, everybody. Later.